want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, and you can look in chapter 12. We're also going to look in chapter 14, verse 1. And we're going to look in chapter 12, verse 31. We're going to look at those in the Amplified, then we'll look into this. Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, is actually writing to correct a lot of error in that church. Now, this is a born-again, spirit-filled church, but they had a lot of error in the church. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we've already seen those first three verses. Paul said, you know, paraphrasing, he said, I desire to minister to you the depths of the Word, to bring the meat and the solid food of the Word to you, but I was hindered. I couldn't do it because you're carnal. You're still babes. And you know, so I had to feed you with milk. And he said, yeah, I actually choked a little bit on that. And then, of course, he went on and told them they were letting envy, strife, and division getting into the church. In other words, they were letting the world operate and rule through them instead of the Word operate and rule through them. Amen?
Amen.
And they were Spirit-filled Christians. In fact, they spoke in tongues a lot. But you know, you can still be carnal and speak in tongues. So you have to get into the Word and the Spirit, and you have to let God develop you and have to grow. And so this church, I'm thankful for 1 Corinthians because Paul gives us a lot of great insight and gives us great doctrine so that we can begin to grow in the things of God and grow in the things of the Spirit of God. Amen? And he gets in his 12th chapter, and he not only lays out ministry gifts, but he lays out the gifts of the Spirit for us. And so we find there are 9 manifestations of the Holy Ghost called gifts of the Spirit. So Paul, writing to the Corinthians by the Holy Ghost, leads them into showing how the Holy Spirit manifests himself through these 9 various giftings. But then thank God for his letter to the Galatians, because over in Galatians, he writes to that church in the 5th chapter and teaches them that there are also 9 fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. Isn't it amazing? He wrote to the Galatians and he told them there are 9 fruit of the Spirit to develop your character with God. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 12, he teaches the Corinthians there are 9 gifts of the Spirit for the power of God in your life. And so what we ought to do is study it both together. That way we will have the character of God and the power of God operating in our lives. And then God would get the glory and we do great things for him. Amen?
Amen.
In fact, we've already showed you there in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul said, you know, verses 1 and 2, he talks about, you know, you can have faith to move mountains, you can have, you know, you can speak in tongues and prophesy loud and hard. And he said, but you know what? If you don't have the love of God, the character of God operating in you, you're just a loud noise and it's not profiting you or anybody else anything. Amen? And you see, I'm concerned, that's where the church, we don't need to do these things to be spectacular. We don't need to do these things to draw attention to us. We don't do these things to show everybody how spiritual we are. But we are to operate in the things of the Spirit to help humanity. These were given to the church to meet people's needs. Amen? And you know, we've already brought out in John chapter 14, Jesus over there, he says, if you believe on me, you'll do my works and greater works than these. And he gave us the authority to use his name. And then he said there in verse 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We saw where the Amplified says, if you really love me, you'll keep and obey my commandments. Hallelujah. Now, what's he talking about? He's saying, if you really love the Lord, you're going to want to do what he says. You're going to want to live your life if it's pleasing him. You're going to want to obey the word of God. And so he says, since you love me and you want to obey me and live my life and do my word and let my word dominate you and direct you, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray the Father and he's going to send you another helper. Hallelujah. And this helper is going to be with you and in you. And I'm not going to leave you orphans, bereaved, comfortless. I'm going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. And then in John 14, 26, he says, and I'll pray the Father and he'll send you another helper. Of course, you know, he talked about the 7 different names, comforter, counselor, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, and helper. And so he goes on down the line and talks about that. But the Amplified in John 14, 26 says, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me. Woo, glory to God. Isn't that good? Meaning what? The Lord said, if you love me and want to obey me and want your life to reflect me, I'm going to send you another helper and he's going to come in my place, in my stead, be my executor, and he's going to do for you what I would do for you if I was standing right beside you. Oh, glory to God, church. Hallelujah. That's why we need to receive the Spirit of God operating in our lives, because the Holy Spirit has come to be the one to help us to live the life of Jesus Christ. In fact, John 16, we've already seen verses 13 through 15. Jesus said he's the Spirit of truth, and he'll come to guide you in all truth. And he'll take everything that belongs to the Lord and reveal it to us and bring us into the revelation of who we are in Christ, the revelation of our privileges in Christ, the revelation of our rights in Christ. Amen. And so we're to walk after the Spirit, live after the Spirit. Praise God. But then we've also seen that in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says in Amplified, it says, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. Well, there's a second experience that we need to have with the Holy Spirit. First, we need to be born of the Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes into us and recreates us and brings us into Christ. But then we need to have the Holy Spirit come upon us. Holy Spirit coming in me is for my benefit. That's to get me saved. The Holy Spirit coming upon me is for your benefit, so I can be a witness to you and minister to you and help you come out of darkness into the light of God. Amen. And you know, it's a great thing about it. We find that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, that the Holy Spirit came into that room, upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. The Spirit gave them the utterance. But they got more than speaking in tongues. They got boldness. They got power. They got revelation. They started operating in the gifts. The Apostle Peter stands up with the inspiration of God and begins to preach from Joel chapter 2 and begins to tell us in these last days the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out. God's going to do signs and wonders. And Jesus died so we could be in this. Hallelujah. And after he preaches the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, those people come to him in verse 37 and said, oh, my God, what do I need to do? I want this. And that should be what we should be wanting. We said, Lord, how do I get this to operate in my life? And of course, Peter tells him. He gives him two things in verses 38 and 39. First of all, he says, you need to repent. Change your views, change your purpose, the Amplified says. In other words, you need to do a reverse in how you think and see things, and you need to turn your life to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's salvation, praise God. I've changed my views. I don't want to go to hell, I want to go to heaven, praise God. Don't want to live for the devil, I want to live for God. Don't want to live in sin, I want to live in righteousness. I want to live in what Jesus did for me, so therefore I'm turning away from my views and my purposes and receiving God's views and God's purposes. But then he goes on and gives you a second experience. And he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Woo, glory to God. So he's saying you got to get born of the Spirit, then you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and your children are far off and those that are called as many as the Lord invites in. In other words, God says this, here's my plan for every individual. I want you and your family, I don't care how small your kids are. Hey, somebody said, well, I don't think you should bring these little ones in. Why? Let the devil have some time with them? I mean, just as soon as they can say, Dad, Dad, Mama, you should teach them Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Get them talking in tongues before they can formulate an entire sentence. Praise God. Amen. Just bring them on in. Glory to God. Because it's the Lord's will. And like I brought in the earlier service, well, how wonderful would it be and is it whenever, you know, if like a mom and dad and the kids are all taking some time in the house worshiping and praising God in the Spirit and lifting up their praise unto God and praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. Amen. What a wonderful anointing that brings into that family. Praise God. And so God is wanting this to go on, praise the Lord. And we ought to pursue this and seek this. And if you're seeking to do this and wanting to be a witness for the Lord, then the Lord says that there are manifestations of the Holy Ghost to help you to walk in this truth and to present this truth to God. And we found out that there are gifts of the Spirit. There are 9 different gifts that are empowering to us to do the works that Jesus has called us to do. And these gifts come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on. Somebody says, I want to operate in these 9 gifts. Well, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And you know, you read in Acts chapter 8, and you see there's 2 experiences because Philip went down to Samaria and preached the gospel. Then people gave heed with one accord to the gospel of the word that he was preaching, and they saw signs and wonders. And then it says that the apostles heard that Samaria had received the word. They sent Peter and John down for them. And when they came down, they prayed for them to receive the Holy Ghost. Now listen to what he says. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Only they had been baptized in the name of Jesus. And we've already brought it out that according to Mark 16, 15 and 16, according to Jesus, go and preach the gospel, and he that believes and baptized shall be saved. So according to the Lord Jesus, they're saved. According to 1 Peter 1:23, Peter said, you're born again by the word of God. They believe the word. So according to the Lord Jesus and Peter, they were born again before Peter and John ever got down there. Amen. If you want to dispute that, go talk to the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Peter. I'm just reporting on what they said about it, praise God. I don't know about you, but I'd rather hook up and agree with the Apostle Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ than some doubter that doesn't believe what the Word says. Amen? But notice that they laid hands on them to receive the Holy Ghost, and they received the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 10, while Peter was preaching to Cornelius, the Bible says, and the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the Word, and they began to speak with tongues. Notice once again, falling upon them, coming upon them. Woo, glory to God. Who will the Holy Ghost fall upon? Those who hear the word. See, right now you're making a decision whether or not you're going to hear the word or you're not going to hear the word. Well, I don't believe it that way. Then you're not hearing the word. It won't fall upon you. I'm concerned to go to some of those meetings down there with Huffman because, you know, I don't want that Holy Ghost stuff. Don't worry about it. If you don't hear the word, it won't fall on you. You're safe. It's true. I mean, he'll get the person beside you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, and just leave you alone. Amen. You may be a little uncomfortable when you're looking around like this and everybody behind you. But he'll fall upon those who hear the word. You say, well, you've already preached that. But yeah, I need to bring it up to this point. Look in verse 1 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Once again, look what he says in the Amplified. Eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim and your great quest. In other words, he's once again, develop the character of God. Pursue love. Make sure that you're developing God's love in your life. Make sure that that love is directing your motives and your attitudes and your actions and how you're living. Let God's love be the controlling factor of your life. But then look what the very next thing he says after you've just committed yourself to love. And earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts. Notice that. Look at what he says. He says, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts. See, why do I want those gifts? Because I love you and I want the Holy Ghost to use me to help you to come out of your hurt and out of your bondage and out of your sin, out of your darkness. And so therefore, I'm earnestly going to develop and cultivate a spiritual environment in my life so that if the Holy Spirit wants to work through me, he can have a vessel he can work through to set you free. It's not to bring attention to me, but it is to walk in love and minister to you. Amen? Now look what he says in 1 Corinthians 12:31. Once again, we find some things here. He says, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. Notice that. We as a church, Paul is not writing to an individual, he's writing to the church. And folks, here's the problem that we have in the church in America. We are not desiring the move of the Spirit of God. There are buildings, great church facilities across this country that at one time you could go into and people were being healed and filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God was moving and God was blessing and people were getting saved. And people say, well, that was back then. You go in now and it's dead as 4 o'clock. Well, God's just not doing anything. Well, why isn't he doing anything? It's the same building. And God is the same God. And the Bible's the same Bible. Maybe the ones going into the building are the ones that have changed. Maybe the people that used to go in that building were desiring spiritual gifts and were seeking God and desiring for the manifestations of the Holy Ghost and desiring to be filled with the Holy Ghost and desiring to experience the glory of God. Maybe what needs to change is not the buildings nor even God. Maybe it's us. And God has been dealing with me, saying, preach this word to my people and wake them up that I am ready to do great and mighty things. I'm ready to pour out my spirit. But you have to earnestly desire and begin to cultivate. What's that mean? Pray and seek God and ask God to come and manifest in our place and do it not so you can be seen or we can brag about what God's doing, but because we're walking in love. We want to see people that are hurting help. We want to see the lost saved. We want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost and empowered to live mighty lives for Jesus Christ. Amen? We want to see the sick healed. We want to see the depressed set free. We want to see those that are bound up in all the junk of the world to get their minds straightened out and know that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And so we have to cry out for these things. And God is speaking to us. And Paul writes this to us so that we can begin to see God is ready to do some things. But are you earnestly desiring these things? Are you personally experiencing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? I brought it out before, bears repetition. The reason we have to have a spiritual experience with the Lord of the Holy Spirit coming into us and making us new creations. And why would he do that? Because in Matthew 9, Jesus said you can't put new wine into old wineskins. You have to renew the bottle first. In other words, we have to have the Holy Spirit come in and change us and renew us and get us ready so God can pour his power into us. Hallelujah. So I need to have a renewed experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I need to go to God and say, Holy God, I'm so thirsty. And Jesus, you said in John 7, to come and drink until out of my innermost being begins to flow rivers of living water. And I'm asking you, Holy Ghost, to come into me and upon me. And Lord, I desire the gifts of the Spirit to manifest in my life. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bring out another truth to you. Listen to me, folks. These gifts of the Spirit are not just given to us so we can come together and have a church service. Most of these gifts manifested outside the church building. Thank God if they manifest when we come together. But that's not the main use of these nine manifestations. These nine manifestations are so you can be equipped in your daily walk with Jesus Christ to be instant in season and out, to be able to minister to somebody when the need arises. So God can be glorified in your life no matter where you're at. Hallelujah. Amen. So we begin to get a hold of these things. And why do we have to experience it first in our life? Because Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter told the man, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In other words, you can't give what you don't have. I have to have this in my life before I can give it to you. Amen? Somebody said, what do you mean? I mean this. If I don't have a $100 bill in my pocket, I can't give you a $100 bill. I can tell you about $100. I can describe to you what it looks like and what it'll do for you, but I can't give it to you because I don't have one. But guess what? If I have a $100 bill in my pocket, I can not only tell you about it, I can give it to you, praise God. I can take it from me to you. If I've got the anointing of God and the power of God and the manifestations of God and the glory of God operating in my life, guess what? I cannot just tell you about it. I can give it to you. Hallelujah. And we can begin to see things change in this life. Praise God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, the apostle says here, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word gifts there is actually in italics, and it simply should read like this. Now, concerning the things of the Spirit, spiritual things, I do not want you to be ignorant. Listen, once again, if God doesn't want the church at Corinth to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit, he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the things of the Spirit. Hosea 4:6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you've rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priests. In other words, he's saying, if you don't get a hold of this, you can't operate in it. Amen? So I believe God wants us to be knowledgeable of the gifts. I believe he wants us to know what God has for us and how to operate in them. Amen? Then he goes on and says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and to no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not talking about confessing Jesus as Lord to get saved. He's talking about when the gifts are in operation, they will always glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt his lordship. Amen? If anybody's operating in the gifts, they will not draw attention to themselves, and they'll not bring disgrace or damage to the kingdom of God, because the gifts of God are to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're utterance gifts, they're going to point you to Jesus. If they're revelation gifts, they're going to point you to Jesus. If they're power gifts, they're going to stir you to serve Jesus. Are you listening to me? So when the Holy Spirit's in operation, He's going to glorify the Lord. That's why He came. Amen? So that's what Paul is saying here. That's how you can discern whether it's of God or not of God. Did it glorify the Lord? Did it point you to Jesus? Did it draw you to the Lord? Or did you walk out confused and worshiping some man or minister? Amen? Because when the Holy Ghost is in operation, it ought to get people saved. Like I shared the story. We were down in Mexico City just a couple, 2-3 years ago. And the pastor there had asked me to preach on healing on Sunday morning. And they had two services. And so the first service, I went ahead and preached, and we laid hands on people, and it was a great service. And then during the in-between time, I was sitting back. And like I've shared before, I was just sitting there minding my own business, relaxing, getting ready for the second service. And the Holy Spirit said, "Let me have this one this time." And I thought, "Lord, I thought you had it the first time. Praise God." I said, "Sure. What do you want to do?" He said, "I want to do something different." I said, "Okay." And that's all he told me. Don't you know that's exactly where the Holy Ghost does you? "I want to do something different." And then he stops talking. Why? Because you have to, by faith, operate with the Spirit of God. Amen? You still have to exercise your faith to be led by the Spirit. And so I looked at the pastor and I said, "Listen, I believe that God wants to do a little something different in the second service. Is that okay?" He said, "Oh, yeah, I trust you." And I thought, "Praise God. Amen." You got more faith in me than I do, because I'm not trusting me right now. Because he just told me he wanted to do something different, didn't say anything. And so we got out anyway, and the Spirit of God began to move, great praise and worship, and we were just enjoying. Then the pastor's wife ministered to the praise team, and then they came up and did another song. And I went up with the associate pastor who's going to interpret, and I got up, and the Spirit of God said, "Have that praise team to come back up and sing that last song again." So I said, "Can they pray?" Boy, they jumped up. They were all fired up. And they came up here and started in that song. And long story short, for the next hour, all we did was move in the Holy Ghost. Call things out, lay hands on people. The whole place, it was packed out too. Huge crowd that morning. And the church is filled up. And people up there. And we went for an hour laying hands. People were drunk in the Spirit. People were crying. The anointing was flowing. People were getting healed. People were getting filled. Bonnie and the associate and the pastor's wife had ladies all over the place. Praise God. They were all in the Spirit. And so finally we got done. I exhorted them a little bit about receiving the truth of Jesus and walking in it. Turned it over to the pastor. The pastor gets up and he starts exhorting. And I finally leaned over to the associate and I said, "Just exactly what's he doing?" He says, "He's giving an altar call." And that morning, 33 people came forward and gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time. Hallelujah. Amen. 30 were first-time visitors who had never been in a charismatic church before. So don't tell me that when the Holy Ghost is moving, you can't get people to come to Jesus, because we saw a landslide. And they all got filled with the Holy Ghost before they let them out of there. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, that is what God is wanting to do in this hour we're living in. Why is He not doing it? You have to desire these things. You have to hunger for these things. You have to cry out for these things. Then you have to cultivate an environment, a spiritual environment, where God can move like that. He's not going to force Himself on us. But when the Holy Spirit begins to move, what's He going to do? He's going to glorify and exalt Jesus as Lord. Amen. Paul goes on and he says this: "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of opportunities or activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But listen, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Notice that this is, all these manifestations are to profit us. They're to bless us, praise God. And notice he calls these 9 gifts manifestations of the Holy Ghost. These are just different ways the Holy Ghost manifests Himself to help us to do the will of God. Amen. Then he goes ahead and lists all 9 gifts. And then he gets down in verse 11 and he says, "But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." Meaning what? You can't turn these on and turn them off as you will. You can't make them happen just because you had them happen one time doesn't mean they're going to happen the next time. Amen. Are you listening to me? And they're going to operate as the Spirit of God wills. That's why we get prayed up. We come in and praise God. And if the Holy Ghost wants to move in a certain way, let's go with Him. But if He doesn't, let's preach the Word, lay hands on the sick, and declare Jesus Lord, and walk out full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. And let the Spirit of God move. Let Him direct. Let Him take charge of the service. Hallelujah. And flow with God. And if we will, God will manifest. Well, there are 9 different gifts, and they're broken down in 3 categories of 3. And we have the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. We also have the power gifts, the gift of faith, working in miracles, and gifts of healings. And then we have the utterance gifts, of gift of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, the revelation gifts, they reveal something. The power gifts, they do something. And the utterance gifts, they say something. Amen? So if you get all of them operating in order, you'll be saying something for God. You'll be revealing something from God. And you'll be doing something for God. Amen? Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but I like to talk, reveal, and do the things of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit has come to do, is to help us operate in these things. Amen? Now, there are 3 revelation gifts, and verse 8, he says down here, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Notice that, the word of wisdom. Well, what is the word of wisdom? The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation of God, of the divine purpose of God concerning things in the future. Now, it's a word of wisdom. It's not all the wisdom of God, but it's a word of wisdom. Notice that. Now, what do you mean, a word of wisdom? It's just the part that God wants you to know. See, a word isn't the entire sentence. A word is just part of the sentence, isn't it? Amen? And so, you know, God is all wisdom. God knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And in fact, He calls those things which be not as though they were, because He already knows that's what it's supposed to be. Amen? But God doesn't tell us all that He knows, and He doesn't show us everything that's going to happen. So He gives us a word, just that part that you need to know. Now, the word of wisdom is always going to deal with things in the future. Okay? Why? Because if it's already happened, see, the word of knowledge, the second part of this is the word of knowledge. And the word of knowledge is God giving you divine revelation of things in the present or the past. Why? Because I can only have knowledge of what's going on now or what's happened behind me. But if I know what's going to happen tomorrow, it's wisdom. Amen? Are you listening to me? See, the word of wisdom is looking ahead. The word of knowledge looks at right now and what's behind. Why they need to operate together? Because this is the thing. What if you're ministering to somebody and God wants to show you ahead and show you something that's going to happen in their life so you can minister to them and prepare them for that situation? Or what if God has got you praying for somebody and all of a sudden He shows you an incident that happened in their life that's causing them to struggle right now? That would be the word of knowledge showing you the cause of where they're in a struggle right now. It should be the word of wisdom showing you what's going to happen in the future. I remember several years ago, I was ministering in a church service. And as I was ministering, you know, I didn't know a lot of people, but there's a lady there. And so I just pointed her out. And I actually ministered to her and brought her and spoke some things, told her, you need to prepare yourself. There are things going to happen. It will be devastating, but God's warning you. And if you'll pray in the Spirit, you'll be ready for it. And so she kind of like, you know, oh my God, first time I've been in a church like this and stuff. And so, but you know what happened about 2 weeks later? She called the pastor. Pastor called me and said that she'd like to talk to you. And what she wanted to know was this. She had had a bad situation happen. And she said, you know, I was a little scared. So I started praying and seeking God. And she said, you know what? This thing was so bad that happened to me a couple days ago that if I hadn't had that word from you, knowing that God was going to get me through, I'd have been devastated, just like you said. But you know what? I took heed to that, and I started praying, and she said, I was a little afraid at first, but you know what? I realized God didn't want me to be afraid. He wanted me to stand and be ready, and he said, so I'm going to get through this thing now, hallelujah. Yes. What's a word of wisdom? Preparing her, helping her, ministering to her, hallelujah. Amen. Then there's been other times that we've ministered, and the Lord showed us that you know, this happened to you, and this happened to you, and this is why you're operating in that. And they say, yeah, that's right. That did. And then you can help them to minister to them, praise God. See, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge flow together. And then the third part is of that is down here in verse 10. That's the discerning of spirits. Well, discerning of spirits is insight into the spirit world. It's seeing in the spirit. To discern means to see into. It actually is seeing and hearing in the realm of spirits. Amen? And so when you begin to take these three revelation gifts together, what you have is God helping you to operate in a spiritual realm that gives you wisdom of what can and is going to happen, knowledge of what's going on now and what has happened, and helps you to see in the spirit realm so that you can see what he's wanting to do in that situation, praise God. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Amen. I don't know about you, but I believe, you know, all ministers ought to seek God for the revelation gifts to operate in their life. All of us should be. And as a Christian, if you're walking along as, you know, I'm not called to be in a fivefold. I'm just a believer. Well, you know what? He said he divides these severally to every man as the prophets with all. It's just sitting for preachers, praise God. Amen. We've had some of these things operate in our life when it didn't have anything to do but with us. Amen. Anybody ever lost anything? Huh? Amen. There's been times that there's something got lost in our house. And you know, I just say, Lord, you know where it's at. Holy Spirit, you know where it's at. Angel, you know where it's at. Apparently, I'm the only one that don't know where it's at. So one of the three can surely show me where it's at. And you know, I've had the word of knowledge come to me, and I've actually known exactly where it was and walked right over and moved something off of it, and there it was laying there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I had to use the word of knowledge two or three times when Bonnie went through some things with her Invisaligns. She was helping, you know, with her bite there, and Invisaligns. They call them Invisaligns because you can't see them. And she come to me and she goes, I've been looking for an hour. I don't know where I laid them down or what. And I just began to pray and say, Lord, show her. First thing you know, she walked right over and pick them up. Praise God. Amen. Somebody says, oh, I wish that worked for me. It don't work by wishing. It works by desiring and cultivating these in your life and expecting God to help you. The Holy Spirit's your helper as much as he is mine. But you got to believe he will do it for you, praise God. These things just don't happen just by chance. They happen because you are desiring them and cultivating them and presenting yourself to God to be used of God in these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. And so we begin to see. Now, the word of wisdom is not just natural Bible wisdom. James chapter 1, 5 says we can all have that. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives up liberty and braideth not. Amen. In other words, I can get wisdom from God on how to deal with the affairs of life through the Word of God. Amen. But the Word of wisdom doesn't come by me studying the Bible. The Word of wisdom is God imparting to me at a specific moment a word of wisdom on what he's wanting me to do or get somebody ready for the future. Amen. And it's just that part. That's why sometimes when I've ministered to people, the Lord would just give me a little bit of what they're going to face, and I would speak it out to them. Or even the word of knowledge. I don't get the whole thing, but I'll just get enough to let you know that God knows what you're going through, and it's just enough to encourage you to believe him that he's going to set you free. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, why doesn't God give you anymore? Because you probably don't need to know anymore. None of your business what else needs to be said. If God wanted you to know more, he'd told you about it, wouldn't he? Amen? But no, it's the word of knowledge and word of wisdom operating together, praise God. And this is the thing. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom can be conditional. Remember over in 2 Kings chapter 20, when Hezekiah was messing up, you know, he was putting all of his emphasis on his gold and silver, and he was bragging on all the stuff. And the prophet Isaiah, God told him, says, you go in and tell him to set his house in order, he's going to die. Remember that? That's a word of wisdom. And he told him what to do. And remember what Hezekiah did? Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to cry and repent and pray out to God and told God, you know, in the days gone by, I lived for you with all my heart. I serve you with everything in me, Lord. I'm sorry. I messed up. Forgive me. And you know what happened? Isaiah, the prophet, hadn't gotten out of the courtyard yet. What's that mean? He wasn't off the parking lot. And God says, go back and tell him I've heard his prayers. I'm going to forgive him, give him 15 more years of life. Now, you sure you want to be led by the Spirit and walk in the gifts? The prophet didn't know that king repented.
That's right.
He had to go by faith. You just went in and told him he's going to die. Now I'm going to go in and tell him he's going to live. Come on, what's going on here? Amen. Somebody said, I want to be used in the gifts. You better study the word. Hallelujah. And know what God may tell you. He may tell you to go do something, and what you share may be received. See, everything the prophet shared with the king was received. But he didn't know because he didn't stick around to see. Amen. He just told him what God told him to tell him, turned around and took off. Gets outside, heading down, almost out off the grounds, and the Holy Ghost speaks to him again, says, no, go on back, tell him I've heard his prayers, and I'm going to give him more life. Praise God. Turn right back around, went and did what God told him to do. Why? Because if we love the Lord, then we want to obey him and keep his commandments and do his will. Amen? And we're willing to put ourselves in an uncomfortable situation so God can work in our lives. Amen? But you have to develop that. You have to grow in that, praise God. And so we find a lot of good things. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we find out that also the word of knowledge can be operational to help you to discern when somebody's being a hypocrite. Remember Gehazi? You know, Naaman came over there and he'd heard that, you know, there was a healer over there in Samaria. And the king got all upset and you know, Elisha said, send him to me. I'll show him there's a prophet over here. And so Naaman shows up and he goes out and he doesn't even go greet him. He sent his servant out and said, go dip 7 times in Jordan. Of course, he did it. And he comes back, wants to give him all these clothes and all this good stuff. And the prophet said, no, why? Because you can't buy the healing of God, miracles of God. And he's not going to let the man walk off and say, I paid for it. And because Elisha took a stand, Naaman walked off and said, listen, there's no God like your God, and he is God. And every time I have to bow to that false God over where my king's at, I'm only doing it because I'm a loyal servant to my king. But no, in my heart, I'll be worshiping your God. Hallelujah. So he changed him. That's what these gifts and manifestations are for, to change people's lives and bring them to the Lord. But Gehazi went running after him and said, he ain't getting off that easy. If the prophet don't want some of that, I'll take it. And he went and lied to him. Said, you know, there's 2 young prophets showed up. And, you know, though the prophet wouldn't take it for him, he'd take it for some of these younger ministers. And that wasn't 2 people. He just wanted it all for himself. He's not only a thief, he's a liar. And when he gets back, you know what happened? The prophet calls him in and said, hey, Gehazi, where you been? Yeah, I didn't go anywhere. He said, did my heart go with you when you went pursuing after him? Now the very leprosy that was on Naaman will cling to you, and the man became leprous right there from that point on. Now, here's the thing about the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. It's only as the Spirit of God wills, and we know that the prophet Elisha apparently didn't know every time that somebody did something wrong. Because if Gehazi's around him all the time, he's his personal servant. And if Elisha knew everything, you think he'd be stupid enough to go chasing after Naaman and lie to the prophet? But why is it that you can't take a chance with God? Because the very time you think you can slick him, that's when he'll tell off on you. Amen? Amen. And you see, this is the thing. All you have to do is once or twice let that happen, and the rest of the people get the message. You don't want to mess around on God. Amen? You don't want to fool with God. It's just like I was telling parents, you know, when we raised our kids, there were several times our kids would do something, and when they'd come home, I'd say, where you been? And they'd say, well, just some friends. And I'd say, yeah, you went here, here, and here. And who called you? I said, nobody. I was praying. The Holy Ghost showed me where you went. I heard Anna say one time, she says, it is so aggravating. I go out someplace and I come home and Dad knows where I've been before I can even say anything to him. I tell you what that does. Now, I didn't know everywhere they went, didn't know everything they did, but I knew enough to cause them to be sure to be a little careful whenever they was out for God. Amen. Helped them to just maintain a little bit more holiness in their life. Praise God. Somebody says, well, I wish it had worked for me. Don't work by wishing. It works by desiring and pursuing and cultivating a walk with God in your life where the Holy Spirit can work with you. Amen? And minister through you. See, these are things that we should be operating in our lives. How great would it be if you was doing a business deal and the Holy Ghost said, don't mess with him. He's a liar and a cheat and he's going to take you. That'd be a pretty good gift for a businessman or businesswoman to have in their life, wouldn't it? For the Holy Ghost to be able to show you what to do and what not to do and who to work with and who not to work with. Amen. Now, you know, I get to preaching this and teaching this, and you know what happens? A lot of people say, this is way out there, this weather. No. This is a down payment of what heaven is. And you see, we're so carnal and worldly minded that this blows some of us out of the saddle. And we think this is, but you know what? This is just the earnest of what we're going to have when we get to heaven. This is just a taste of heaven. And God's saying, this is just a little bit I'm trusting you with. And we all should be looking for this, because the church was created to be a supernatural body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a natural religious body going through the motions. Amen? We are to live in this and walk in this and expect God to help us in these things. Hallelujah. And to manifest Himself in our lives. Many times these things work together. Praise God. In fact, I want you to look in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's look over here. And these things work different ways. You can receive a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge through a vision, through a dream, through an inward witness. You remember in Acts 27, the Apostle Paul received a word of wisdom about the ship they were getting on. He said, I perceive that this voyage is going to be disastrous and you're going to lose your lading. And it could be killing all of us. Amen. But they didn't listen to him. That was God showing him something that was going to happen in the future. Amen. And then whenever he got into the mess and they got in the storm, he gave him a word of knowledge. He said, Paul, he said, don't worry about it. I'm here with you. Tell them if they'll stay with you, not one person's going to die. That was a word of knowledge. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so therefore he was able to tell them and save them. He couldn't save the ship because God already told him it was going to happen. But then, praise God, he was able to operate and do the things that God would tell him to do. Now, look here in Acts, the 9th chapter. We have the story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. And we have Ananias, a layman. And we find here that actually all three of these revelation gifts are in operation. Because he says in verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Now notice he said to him in a vision. In other words, he's having a spiritual insight. He's seeing into the spirit realm. Amen? And he's hearing the Lord, and the Lord's giving him a message. So that's discerning of spirits in operation. See, in the discerning of spirits, you'll either see or you'll hear. Remember in Revelation, John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he turned to the voice, and there was the Lord, the glorified Lord, and he saw him. Praise God. Well, that couldn't be Jesus. Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 7, making intercession for us. So what was that? Discerning of spirits. He discerned the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the Lord Jesus goes over to the Gadarene area, and there's a legion of demons in this man in the tombs. And so Jesus calls him out, and he says, I'm legion. Well, everybody could have heard him say that, because that demon, that unclean spirit, was speaking through the man's voice. But then whenever the Lord began to rebuke him, it says, then all the demons began to cry out. Now, if we'd have been there and you didn't have the discerning of spirits, you wouldn't have heard all those demons. Jesus heard them all because they were all speaking in the realm of the Spirit. We'd have heard the first one because he spoke in the man's voice. But when they all started screaming all at once, you wouldn't have heard all of that, but you'd have had to been have operating in the discerning of spirits to have heard all of that. Amen? Huh? Remember in Acts 16 when Paul is preaching the gospel there at Lydia's home, and they're having Bible studies, and every day that little girl with a spirit of fortune telling would follow them along. These men are the servants of the Most High. Finally, Paul turned and spoke to the spirit and said, come out of her and cast that unclean spirit, that divination spirit out of her. Remember that? What was that? That's discerning of spirits. He discerned the spirit that was in operation there. Notice he didn't deal with the person. He dealt with the spirit. Notice in Mark chapter 5, Jesus didn't deal with the Gadarene man. He dealt with the Gadarene demon. Amen? So the discerning of spirits is to help us to see in that realm of the Spirit. But when you have discerning of spirits, you may see the Lord. Remember, in the Old Testament, Moses was able to discern and see the similitude of God as he passed by. Hallelujah. And then we see Jesus. We see angels. If you see an angel, that's a discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. And we should be seeing angels. They saw them in the past. Why aren't we seeing some of them today? Now, you don't go around trying to see a demon or look for a demon. And you don't go around trying to see an angel or look for an angel. But if one shows up, praise God, it'd be good to know who it is. Amen. Hallelujah. And so therefore, thank God for the discerning of spirits. So Ananias, he's just a disciple. He's not a preacher, teacher. He's not an apostle, evangelist. He's a disciple. But he's operating here, and he sees in the spirit realm the Lord speaking to him, talks to him about Paul. And look what he says. Let's go on down here to and read some of this. Verse 11, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying and in a vision has seen a man named Ananias coming into him and laying his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Notice that, that's what we're talking about right there is the word of knowledge. Because he just told Ananias where Paul was, what the street was, what the house was, and who it belonged to. Amen? That's pretty good, isn't it? That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it, if you're in a place and didn't know where to go and God starts showing you where to go. God told him exactly, and then he told him Saul. Minister Saul. So that's a word of knowledge. Why? Because it's dealing with the present now situation. Amen? But now let's read on. Then Ananias answered and said, Lord, I've heard many things from many people that this man's doing much harm. And he's doing much, you know, he's just messing up a lot of people, a lot of your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, now here's a word of wisdom. Listen to this part. He says, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles. See, that's future. That's what he's going to do. That's a word of wisdom. And this is what he says. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. That's word of wisdom. So we have Ananias praying, seeking God, ministering to the Lord, spending time worshiping God. And in the midst of his prayer and worship, he no more expects this to happen than you and I would. See, it's the Spirit of God wills. You can't force these things to happen. But if you press in and love the Lord and obey Him and pray in the Holy Ghost and set yourself before the Lord, then you put yourself in position so if God wants to use you, He can use you. Amen? And so Ananias is never going to expect this. In fact, he's a little questioning because he's like, you sure you got the right person here, Lord? That's Saul of Tarsus. If you don't know what the man's been doing, he's been putting us in jail. I was praying for you to use me, Lord, but could you use me for somebody else? Hallelujah. You know, he didn't question anything. That tells me that Ananias had a deep spiritual walk with the Lord. In fact, his walk with the Lord was so spiritual that he didn't have a problem questioning the Lord on what he was doing. And did you notice that the Lord didn't get mad at him when he questioned him? Are you sure about this? I mean, have you heard of it? The Lord just answered him back, didn't he? See, you have to be spiritual enough and have a spiritual walk with God that if he tells you something, you can question him back. Oh, I wouldn't have said I'd be afraid God would zap me. Then you don't have a spiritual enough walk. No, Ananias, he had a walk with the Lord, and the Lord began speaking. And so Ananias is thinking, okay, I know where that house is. Yeah, I know Judas. I also heard about Saul. Now, Lord, I love you, but I just want to let you know, this man has caused a lot of problems. And before I go over there, I want to make sure I'm hearing from you. The Lord said, it's okay, it's okay. You go on over there and minister to him because I'm going to show him what he's going to do for me in the kingdom. And he's seen a man named Ananias coming in laying his hands on him. So I've already prepared him for you. Amen. Because you see, you got to understand something, folks. If God is going to ask you to do something, he's already gone before you to prepare the way. Are you listening to me? He's not going to send you into something that's going to make you look foolish and defeat you. So he's already prepared Saul. He said, he's seen a man named Ananias coming and laying his hands upon him. And you know what Ananias did? He just said, okay, let's go prove this out. Amen. And he went right over to that street, Walked right into that place. Walked right in. There's old Saul, blind as a bat. Not sick blind. Not physical blind. Blinded by the glory of God. He still can't see because of the glory that he saw in the Lord Jesus Christ on the road. Amen. And what does Ananias do? He walks in. He says, Brother Saul, hallelujah. How many of you know that's a faith statement? Amen. I'm going to get a reaction. That tells me that even though he's a spiritual man of God, he's still walking it out, isn't he? Brother Saul, he's got the door handle, isn't he? He's still holding on the doorknob. Amen. Because the response Saul gives him is going to determine whether he goes over and prays for him or he gets out of there real quick. See, folks, you got to understand something. Even though you have a good spiritual walk with the Lord, does not mean that your flesh is going to fight you and your mind's going to fight you and you're still going to have to deal with insecurities and fears and intimidation trying to take you away from doing what God wants you to do. This is a real situation, and this guy's dealing with real emotions and real situations in his life, and he's walking it out by faith, trusting that he's heard God, and he's trusting that the Lord's going to work through him to do for this man what he said he would do. That's how we live this. It's never perfect. I remember one time we were having both the Monaville Armory. We had some meetings over there, and I was there preaching one night. And you know, had good crowd and church, you know, several church coming together. And I was preaching, and there was a lady, you know, they had two section ladies sitting back about two-thirds of the way. And the Lord spoke to him and said, her son's in jail, but tell her it's going to be all right. I'm going to let him out, and I'll move on him, and he'll get saved. I said, I ain't going to say that. I'm preaching along, praise God. And I just ignored him. Hallelujah. And so I'm going along. The Lord said, tell her that her son's in jail and that it's going to be all right. I'm going to get him out of jail and he's going to get saved. I said, Lord, well, somebody else can tell her. I don't know her. I'm a guest over here. Hallelujah. And you know, the Lord spoke that to me a third time. And he said, ask her if she's got a son in jail. So I pointed, I said, man, would you, she stood, I said, excuse me, you have a son? She, oh, I said, come up here, praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, I got bold as a lion then, amen. And you know, God worked and he was in jail. And you know that he got saved that night and the next day they let him out and he didn't have any charge put against him, praise God. God worked. But you see, we have to learn to follow after the Holy Spirit. Just because the Spirit of God's moving doesn't mean you're just going to, okay? You still have to be led by the Spirit and trust the Lord to do this because it's His works. Amen? But thank God for gifts of revelation. Thank God for discerning of spirits. Thank God for being able to see things spiritually and hear God and God show you things and God reveal things to you, not so that you can look spectacular and super spiritual. You ever notice you never read about Ananias ever again in the Bible? This man laid hands on one of the greatest apostles that ever preached the gospel, and you hear about him one time in the Bible. God may have never used him again like that, but he used him that day. Amen? That tells me that Ananias didn't go out and try to build a ministry off of the fact that I'm the man that laid hands on Paul and sent him off in the ministry. Hallelujah. He went back to serving the Lord just like he had done before. And God, if you ever want to use me again, that's fine. If not, that's still fine too. Because you're my Lord. Amen? This is where God is bringing the church, folks. We have to desire this. We have to rebirth this in our churches and in our lives, in our homes, and in our work and in our daily walk with God. We need to have these things operating in our lives. Amen? And God has not withdrawn them, nor has he changed his mind about doing them.
That's right. Amen.
Who is he going to do it for? For us who earnestly desire and cultivate and seek him to use us in these areas. Amen? Yeah.